Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the Bible study on KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us. Thank you again to Pastor Jeffrey Reese from Zion Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington. Not an easy chapter, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. If you didn't get a chance to get in during that hour, you can certainly do so now with questions about that text. And there is something significant in the news today. I think we're going to spend some time talking about that. But you can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. And look at this. It appears to be Zion Day here at KFUO because our next guest, Pastor Mark Femmel, serves at Zion Lutheran Church. But this one is in Maryland Heights, a little bit closer to the station. How you doing, my friend? Good morning.
I'm good. Now, was that other Zion Church? Was that also Lutheran?
That was also Lutheran.
Oh.
Yeah, believe it or not. Matter of fact, it had better be because you should know Jeffrey Reese.
He was in my class, yeah.
That's right. So if it's not a Lutheran church.
I'm just making sure he's still staying, you know, good and upright and whatnot.
Well, I didn't check his ID card, but I think he was okay.
Well, it's hard with Jeff. He's a sneaky guy.
He is. Well, we seem fairly orthodox for the hour that I am on. you better clarify that your sense of humor is not.
Oh, yeah, I'm just playing. I'm just being silly.
Because there may be folks in Perryville, I don't know, down in Perry County, writing letters right now.
That's right.
Mark Femmel said.
That's right.
So what's going on at your Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights?
Well, we are still recovering from the hail back in April.
You're kidding me, still?
Yeah. Well, you know, when hail comes into town, it hits everybody.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of people who immediately need help right away, so, you know, schedules get full up. And
oh, you're talking about helping others and not necessarily damage done to your church.
Well, yeah, no, damage done to our church.
That too, wow.
Yeah. So we're doing that, but things are all set and ready to go for Vacation Bible School next week, so. Life is crazy busy, but it's good when you're crazy busy in the ministry.
It certainly is.
At least you know you're not lukewarm, then, we hope.
Well, yeah, get spit out if you're lukewarm, right? Isn't that what it says in Revelation?
True. Exactly.
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, we will get to what's in the news here in just a moment, but since you bring that up, what exactly does that mean in Revelation when he says you're not hot, you're not cold? Jesus says you're not hot, you're not cold. You're lukewarm and I'll spit you out. Is he essentially saying that he appreciates people who are wrong for at least taking a stand more than he takes people who are wishy-washy in the middle?
Yeah, that's the problem with the Christians at Laodicea. If they were hot, they would be doing the right thing. They'd be going. They'd be on it. They'd be on fire. They'd be zealous. They'd be going. But if they were cold, you know, God's worked with people that are cold before too. You know, I mean, Paul was as cold as you could get. You know, he's killing Christians.
Yeah,
and he's as spiritually cold as you could be. And you know, God specializes in thawing out the frozen. But you get these people who have. You know, like the book of Hebrews says, you know, they've tasted the gifts, they've been enlightened, they've seen the mysteries, they've rejoiced, they've had the faith, and then they're just kind of like, you know, sure glad Jesus came for us, and maybe you can go for some other people, but apathy is a very hard thing to break.
It is. When it comes to the big news event of the day, the shooting in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, at this premiere of the new Batman flick, The Dark Knight Rising. When things like this happen, do you as a pastor sort of see this as a way to gauge the temperature of our culture? Are we hot? Are we cold? Are we lukewarm?
Well, you know, as a culture, I can't speak individually because there's a lot of people, but as a culture, we become very lukewarm on spiritual things. You know, you do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do, and so on and so forth. Well, I mean, goodness, can you believe those police officers went into that theater and told that shooter that he was doing something wrong? That's not very tolerant.
No, it's not.
You know, those are his beliefs. And, you know, obviously, you know, that's sarcasm. But, you know, I mean, if that guy had a vibrant faith, had a vibrant walk with the Lord instead of shooting people, you know, maybe he'd be out there handing out free popcorn, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting how people are starting to really hijack this thing. the facts haven't even completely come to light yet as to what happened, why it happened, what, if any, motivation there may have been. You know, information is trickling out slowly. And the thing that strikes me here is at the top of the hour news, it said that he was a former medical school student. So I'm just wondering if you took the logic of culture, you know, obviously we should ban medical schools because look what they cause people to do.
you know, very tragically, instead of saving lives,
yeah,
he took that same, you know, that same, he did the very opposite of that. You know, it's like Judas following Jesus, and all of a sudden he betrays him. I mean, it just makes no sense. And quite honestly, he must not have been a good medical student, because, I mean, you know, 12 people died.
Yeah, the numbers are a little bit squishy, because when you have an event like this, you know, the emergency personnel are more concerned about saving lives and treating people than counting noses. So it's still coming around. It's still somewhere between 10 to 15 killed and somewhere between 30 and 50 injured in some way, shape, or form.
But see, that's the hand of God, that a medical student kills so few. I mean, I've hunted with bow and arrow, you know, on rare occasion. And, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know, you know, where he shot. But, I mean, a medical student knows that there are certain places you shoot if you're really trying to do some killing, if you're really trying to end life, which, you know, if you're going to shoot six, you know, what's going to keep you from shooting 20?
Yeah.
It's the hand of God that made that guy, his aim so bad that... That there's a lot of chairs that will not be empty tonight.
Now these are going to be the kind of questions that culture ask, and I think especially a pastor with a Lutheran worldview and some good Lutheran doctrine behind him can better answer these questions than the news media and the way culture will. But you know, when you say that, you see, you're going to hear God invoked in this a lot. You know, it was God's will. Matter of fact, when George Zimmerman was interviewed the other night by Sean Hannity, he said that, you know, the shooting was the will of God or by God's plan or something to that effect. Well, explain to me how God works. If God is capable of minimizing the damage, why not stop it in the first place?
Well, apparently God has a bigger plan than you know, making sure people have a nice, peaceful evening to watch Batman in this country. Apparently God is just kind of at work making the world better, and he's going to do that. And in the book of Revelation, you know, when Jesus shows up, the old heavens and this old earth and all the stupid things that people do to each other, it's going to come to an end.
Yeah, it gets rolled up like a scroll.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, well, we don't like God, but when something bad happens, well, then it's his fault. And, you know, it's like, all right, well, what is God doing? Well, as the stories come out, we're going to find out that there are some Christians who said, you know what, this is not going to take place on my watch. I'm going to charge this guy, and they got shot in the face. You know, you're gonna hear stories like that. You always hear stories like that, where, you know, the Christians stand up and the Christians put their lives in harm's way for other people. Did you ever see that movie Captain America?
I have not seen that one. No.
Oh, it's great. You get this squirrely, wimpy little kid. I don't know if it's computer generated or whatever, but he's really puny, and he ends up as a soldier. And he wants to fight the Nazis. Well, they have they're grooming this group of guys to see who's the best soldier for the scientific program that'll make you strong and everything and become Captain America. And so then they have the guy, their favorite, picked out. Well, then somebody throws a dud grenade into the group, and, you know, they say grenade, and then everybody, including the star hero, you know, the star guy that everybody wanted to be the future Captain America, they all duck and hide. This squirrely, wimpy, weak kid, you know, who has no chance of cutting into the military, immediately, without thought, he jumps on the grenade. And he's telling people, get away, get away, get away. I mean, immediately, he's going to die for people he doesn't even know, because it's the right thing to do. And see, that's what Christians do. And God's plan isn't to keep people from hurting. Ultimately, it is. But his plan is far deeper than making sure everybody has a nice, comfy day, you know, where they can sip their Starbucks coffee and, you know, walk around on their patio in their pajamas and robe or something like that. I mean, look at what happens with Jesus. He didn't have to get rejected everywhere he went, but, I mean, that is how dark we are. God didn't do this. This guy did it. And this guy did it because he didn't listen to God.
You know, there's a headline that I pulled off the website for the London Daily Telegraph, which is an English newspaper, and it's online website. And the headline from the story caught my attention because it says, "Our attitude to violence is beyond a joke, as new Batman film shows." Now, the thing that really struck me was, as you look at the story, it says the new Batman film reaches new levels of brutality, so why are we letting our children watch it? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go down and it says the byline is by Jenny McCartney. And you know what the date on this is?
When's that?
July 26th, 2008.
Wow.
So it's referring back to the last Batman movie, which they're lamenting took violence to a whole another level.
Yeah, but see, cultures go through ebbs and flows of this stuff. I mean, they're no bloodier than the real life violence of the gladiator arenas of Rome.
Yeah,
well, that's just what the world does.
Well, then, no shock when the world comes into the fantasy world of a movie theater.
Yep.
See, and that's what I said at the start of the last hour was. I'm a little bit cynical about this because everybody, you know, I'm shocked. Well, why? Look at the world around you.
Yeah.
I mean, we are Pollyannish. This is a sinful, fallen world. And this is what happens, you know, when Adam decides that God's plan doesn't work for him too well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder about that. Why people, you know, they're shocked that it happens, but should we really be shocked? Shouldn't we be expecting these things to happen? Or help me understand. See, this is the confusion that comes out of culture, especially when you invoke God into this situation. You know, why? How do you make sense? Or do you make sense of this? Is this like a good Lutheran approach to paradox? You just leave it alone.
Well, see, you know, kind of thinking about it because I knew we were going to talk about this just because it's all over the news.
Yeah.
Is you know, this should only be shocking to somebody who has a Christian worldview.
Oh, okay. Well, then tell me why I should be shocked then.
Yeah. Well, you should be shocked because it's just like, come on, people, we're in this together. You should know better than this. Why would you do this?
Well, that sounds like Paul in 1 Corinthians 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Paul never really, after he was brought into the faith, went off and started killing people.
Right.
You know, but, you know, with the Christian worldview that says there's a God in heaven, he's good, he can stop anything he wants, you know, God help me understand why he didn't stop this, you know, to which you could easily say in Isaiah chapter 5, you know, what more could I have done? What didn't I do? Show me how I failed the world. No, I didn't fail you. You failed me. But as Christians, you know, you look at the universe and say, you got to ultimately, eventually make sense in a right and wrong perspective.
But are you saying, Pastor, that God is not responsible to us, but we are responsible to him?
Well, what does he owe you?
Well, nothing I can think of at the moment.
Well, hell.
yeah, okay, thanks, yeah.
But he owes that to himself. But it's grace that he tolerates you enough to allow you to come into heaven with him, that he actually tolerates to call you his son. But, I mean, that's love. You know, from his perspective, it's just, well, this is love. You know, this is just what I do. But if you come at it with, if you're an atheist or an agnostic, your worldview is drastically different. Your worldview is survival of the fittest. Your worldview is evolution. Your worldview is the application of natural law over which there is no ruler. And you know, so somebody runs in and shoots a bunch of people. If you're a solid atheist, if you're a true agnostic, you know, if you really believe that, you know, the God of the Bible is not the God in control of the heavens and the earth, then if you're going to be consistent, you got to look at this movie theater shooting and say, oh, well, and that's why people should have guns. So when somebody starts shooting them, they can shoot them back. They can't say, oh, I'm so appalled at this. You know, it's like, you know, according to your perspective, a few thousand years ago, people were killing each other over, you know, their wives or girlfriends or daughters or land or money. I mean, this is, according to you, this is how the world works. And for millions of years, this is how the world has worked, if you're an atheist, if you believe in evolution. But people always get all upset about when stuff like this happens. You know, where was God? How could he let this happen? Well, if God's God, he's not going to make sense to you. But it could only be a shock if people are going to be consistent. It can only be shocking. It can only be surprising if you expect the world to work in a good way, and you know, and you believe that there is somebody who's making sure it does. Because if evolution is the norm, when people are shot, you should actually celebrate the funeral because that person has allowed the human race to go forward. But they don't.
Yeah, you've decreased the surplus population, and survival of the fittest moves forward.
Yeah, you've allowed my children more oxygen and food on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, atheists, I don't know why atheists are sad at funerals. They should be happy because that person has allowed the human race to move forward. But, you know, atheists, that's not the only contradiction that they have.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Reminds me, Pastor, that there was a headline. Oh, what was it? A couple of years ago, there was the shooting on the college campus where the guy went in, locked some people in a room, and just started, you know, shooting them. And the headline, I wish I could remember which university that was. It doesn't come right back to me immediately here. But one of the headlines that was in the paper the next day was, "We should fire God." No, I'm not kidding. It really was. We did a Studio A program on that, you know, a couple of years ago when it came out. And that headline, "We should fire God because, well, he's just not capable of protecting us."
That is so sad. I'd hate to be the individual who wrote that and the people who approved it because, man, their life is going to be falling apart in a bunch of different ways.
Well, is God the author of evil?
Absolutely not.
Then why do we ascribe it to him?
Because we don't want to take the credit ourselves.
Oh, the one thing we're willing to share is that nonsense.
You know, and it's kind of funny because there are people who carry such grudges. But then they'll say, you know, God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did that for the 100,000th time, plus a whole bunch of other stuff I know I shouldn't have done. Can you forgive me? And if you don't forgive me, I'm going to be upset with you. Okay. But, you know, it's so funny. We demand God to overlook things that we do that don't make sense to him, you know, our sins. But, man, are we petty. Man, are we petty. When God asks us to just accept when he does things that we don't understand. Now, that's not sin, but, you know, when he does things that don't make sense to us. And then we start getting petty and get tit for tat. You know, it's like, you know, God, you know, it's like we're having a conversation with him in a coffee shop, and we say, you know, God, I did like 100,000 things the past couple of months that I know make no sense to you because I'm stupid and you're really smart and you're holy and I'm always selfish. You know, please forgive me. He says, hey, you know what? My love for you is stronger than that. No problem. And then he says, now, there's a couple of things I've done in the past couple of years of your life that you don't make sense to you. But, you know, it's my hope that your love is greater than your apprehension for that. And we go, no, no, you didn't get me ice cream for my 17th birthday. And I didn't get my He-Man on my 8th birthday. And, you know, we get petty about the stupidest stuff. And yet we demand God, we throw temper tantrums, that God forgive us for things that we've done.
Well, you better brace yourself, Pastor, because whenever something like this happens, whether it's a man-made disaster or what they would call a natural disaster, I won't use the term act of God, but even though insurance companies do.
Yeah.
But when these things happen, you're going to get bombarded now with this question about why God allows bad things to happen to good people. Because, you know, one of the people killed in this movie theater was a 4-month-old child. And it's horror, I tell you, it's horror. But, you know, then you think for a moment that if 5 months ago the mother had decided to terminate that pregnancy, it would have been a choice, not a tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
We are remarkably strange people.
We are. We are walking contradictions.
Let's go to the phones and talk with Dave. Dave, good morning. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, Roland. Interesting comment you made at the end there about aborting the child, it would have been okay.
Yeah, I mean, I look at culture, and this is what I marvel at. The newspapers are just full of all sorts of comments about this 4-month-old child being shot at point-blank range, but if that child would have only lived 8 months and the mother would have walked into an abortion clinic, you know, it's just a choice, no tragedy
yeah.
there.
I heard a saying a while back that the way liberals think is liberal thinking is a mental disease. But that's not what I really called about. The shooting that happened today is almost hard to separate from politics because I didn't know if you were aware of this, but there's a vote that's going to happen the 27th of July that's being pushed by the United Nations to take away our Second Amendment rights, international type of a law that they could confiscate our weapons. And I just wondered, I'm somewhat of a conspiracy theorist person, but isn't this odd, this happened right before this vote coming up next Friday? And I heard our Congress is supposed to vote on this, whether they're going to let UN international law supersede our Constitution to take away our Second Amendment rights. And if that happens, we're open up to basically being taken over as a country. And I also heard an interesting tidbit on the from a secondhand person on the Canadian Free Press. I had nothing to substantiate this, but there's some. It supposedly leaked out of the White House that there's going to be an assassination attempt on President Obama, fabricated. And it would cause all kinds of racial trouble in the cities to where he would claim martial law and possibly not even have a election this November.
Do you think, Dave, you might need to take a break from the internet for a day or two?
Well, remember when Hitler took over Germany? There was a fire in the Reichstag.
Oh yeah.
That was probably set by his cronies, and he declared martial law and took over all the institutions of the government.
But see, if you look at the militaristic power that pre-World War II Nazi Germany had, it was organized much differently. There have been numerous assassination attempts on presidents, and there was no martial law. Now, I will say about the first point is the guy who, you know, perhaps this is about this gun control law. I mean, that would be a very significant thing if one guy decides to go to the death chamber or live life in prison because of one election. And we'll find out. We'll find out. If this guy turned, you know, no one just decides one day to wake up and go to prison for life or to, you know, to lethal injection. Mm-hmm. For an election, he's going to get involved in the political process in other ways. You know, first he's going to dabble first. You know, it's not like a parent sends their kid to one of these Afghanistan vacation build your own bomb schools without first, you know, going to the mosques of these guys who are telling them to do it. So, you know, this guy will have a political career. We'll find out that, you know, maybe he was discharged from medical school because of psychological wellness. I mean, there will be a trail, but I mean, if this is just some guy, like the Columbine kids, which happened in the area, where they were just broken people who had kicked out God so much that they could not even listen to right and wrong anymore.
It'd be interesting if he has, Major Nadal Hassan, who murdered 13 U.S. soldiers.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting what his background is.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, goodness, I hope this is not an Islamic thing. I saw a story, and it's bizarre. I saw a story that there are a bunch of people in London who are not allowed to the games because of suspected terrorist connections.
Yep.
And one guy had one of these anklets on that they could track where he was everywhere, and he rode through Olympic Village on a train five times before they arrested him.
Wow.
They always test. They always test.
David, let me just interject one quick thing here. You talked about Major Nadal Hassan, and you said it was 13. Actually, it was 14 because 14. One of the people killed was pregnant.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Just trying to be consistent here, what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, I just thought I thought you might like a little of those tidbits. I hope they don't happen, but...
Well, they're fodder for conversation. I would agree with you that it would be best if they did not happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Take a break from the internet for a day or two. I have to do that every once in a while. I spend so much time reading stuff for the program that every once in a while I just have to go, enough, enough. There's just so much out there. I just sort of confess that the start of this hour, it tends to make you a little bit cynical about things. It gets you out of skew for a good perspective on what's really going on.
Yeah, yeah. The world's going to hell.
So I also, I hope not, at least, you know.
Well, the world is, but those who are not of the world, you're right.
And you know,
stop jumping out of the lifeboat of Christ.
And I see that you have put a little bit of a different spin on VBS, Vacation Bomb School.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got like
your sense of humor. I don't know, man. I'll tell you.
Well, no, they got
your mom and dad left you in front of the television for too long. I think
they've got summer camps in the Middle East of teaching kids how to build bombs to become a suicide bomber and detonate them. And, you know, so we're Christians here, you know, we're having Vacation Bible School. What are they doing? What are some of the kids doing in the Middle East? Vacation, you know, build your own bomb school.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, wow, you see the two differences in the religions.
We'll be back with more after this break. You can join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Stick around. We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Femmel.
KFUO Radio is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling. Their showroom is in the Mid-County Trade Center, located at 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox furnaces and air conditioning, along with other well-known manufacturers. Reliable Heating and Cooling has a website for information at www.trustreliable.com. Next time you call Reliable Heating and Cooling, thank them for being a KFUO radio underwriter.
The KFUO Radio Datebook is a public service that keeps you informed of what's going on in your community. Your church or nonprofit group can share an announcement with KFUO radio listeners on AM 850 and KFUO.org. Just send the details via mail to Datebook KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email me, Buzz Ulrich, at buzzu@kfuo.org. These announcements run at various times throughout the day on KFUO Radio.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jeske from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 6:30 for some straight talk and real hope.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney says the contraceptive coverage mandate in the federal health care law violates
religious liberty, our first freedom of those enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And the president and his administration said they are going to usurp your religious freedom by demanding that you provide products.
At a town hall meeting in Bowling Green, Ohio this week, Romney said Catholic institutions and other religious employers are
being told what they have to do that violates their religious conscience. That attack on religious freedom, I think, is a dangerous and unfortunate precedent.
Roman Catholics have been the most prominent opponents of the mandate, but Romney said,
I feel that we're all Catholic today in our battle to make sure we preserve religious liberty and tolerance and freedom in this country. It is essential for us to push back against that.
I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
For years, Nancy and her husband tried fertility treatments and finally adopted two daughters from China. Months after the second adoption, Nancy found out she was 42 years old and pregnant. The thought of taking care of an additional baby made her panic and decided abortion was the answer. But she noticed her post-abortive friends reacted with hesitation and strain. Nancy's mind completely changed at the abortion mill. She lived in a state that required she first be shown an ultrasound of her baby and was shocked to see arms and a head. Later, while sorting clothes to give to charity, her daughter said they should save some for the baby. Nancy hadn't even told her of the pregnancy. Ultrasound is an effective and life-affirming tool regardless of the mother's stage in life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
This is Ask the Pastor on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Mark Femmel from Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights, Missouri, talking a little bit about the Aurora shootings, the ones that took place in the movie theater last night. And we've kind of been sort of all over the board here when it comes to this, and I think you've made some very good points along the way, Pastor Femmel, but let's narrow this down just a little bit more. If God is eternal, if God is infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, shouldn't he be able to control evil? And if he can, why doesn't he?
Okay. God says my ways are not your ways. My ways as the sky is above the ground. My ways are above your ways. So some people, they did get shot. Does that mean that God didn't control evil? Well, no. Like we talked about earlier, a medical student knows where shooting people will kill people. I'm not going to go into that on the radio, but you know, if you shoot somebody in the ankle, you're just going to make them irritated. You know?
Right.
A medical student knows how people need to get shot if they're going to die. That his aim was that bad when he was shooting into a crowd of people and had plenty of opportunity to you know, line up his shots and then do his things. And he had all the strategy because everybody else was like, you know, fish in a barrel. They had, you know, they had no preliminary plans. That in and of itself is proof that God's hand was there. But, you know, think about all the other shootings that were prevented from happening. And from time to time, God does allow some bad things to happen. But what this does is it drives us to ask the questions that the world can't answer. You know, it drives us to the faith. It drives us to our pastors. It drives us to prayer. It drives us to the Word. It drives us to church so we can kind of figure out, wow, this world is not the world we're supposed to be in. There's supposed to be something better. And which part of the world are we going to be in? We're doing James on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It says, you know, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. This is James chapter 1. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Which means it's not like God's out there saying, all right, I'm going to try to chip a couple of people, make it fun. Instead, he's constantly calling us away from this stuff. But sometimes we say, you know, God, you're really cool and all, but man, sin is just so fun. You know, I like my road rage. And then road rage becomes carrying a gun. And then, you know, when somebody road rages you, you pull the gun out and you swing, you know, you wave it around so the guy's scared. And it's fun, you know. And then all this, you know, all of a sudden you start saying, well, you know, I'm not just going to carry it in my car. I'm going to carry it in my person. So I'll get it concealed to carry. And then when someone's really ticking me off, I'll just open up my suit coat or my jacket, and then they'll see I got a gun, that they're, you know, I'm in control. And then all of a sudden, you know, other parts of his life start falling apart. You know, he gets discharged from medical school. You know, I mean, I don't know the guy's story, but, you know, you could probably follow like breadcrumbs back to when he started playing with this stuff and dancing with this stuff and fiddling with this stuff. And, you know, what's happening is not God making these people dead. It's sin making people dead. And if you want to keep yourself from being a killer, then you pay attention to the guy who calls killers away from killing, that calls adulterers away from adultery, that calls thieves away from stealing, that calls liars away from lying, and that's in the church. It's every Sunday morning.
The other problem, I think, Pastor, is that you know, good used to be a word that was reserved for God,
mm-hmm.
and now it's just, you know, it's a common word. Everything is good. I had a good meal last night. You know, you pat a kid on the head, you're a good little boy because you behaved yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps the problem is that we don't understand what good really is. How would you define good in theological terms?
Well, you know, even in non-theological terms, that's, you know, because everything is theology, right? It's all related to God.
Life is theology, yeah.
You know, God created everything. In my perspective, good is what reflects God. So if someone's being nice, that's good, you know, because they're being like God. And God's always nice. Even to the point where they're going to send chaplains to this guy in prison, you know, they're going to, you know, the people, the pastors of the families who lost somebody or were injured were up all night, you know. I've been in situations like that before where you are up all night at that person's hospital room. It's not like you're stitching their wounds out. It's not like you're pulling the bullet out, but you're there because people are hurting and they need you, you know. But, you know, you're not going to get that from your boot, you know, your Hindu guru, you know, because they've got a different worldview. They got a different perspective. But you are going to get that from your pastor. That's what pastors do, because they're following Christ, who says, I am there for you, as opposed to, you know, like the Hindu gods who say, well, you know, as long as you measure up, I'll care about you. You know, so God's hand is very real. It's very involved in this. It's not, oh, man, I stubbed my toe today, so God must hate my toe. But, you know, good is that which reflects God. So if it's a really hot and sweltering day, you know, it's killing plants, it's making people miserable, people without air conditioning, especially older people, are suffering, that doesn't seem to be a good day. Likewise, if it's, you know, 20 degrees below, you know, people are slipping on the ice, they're cracking their hips, you know, they're not going to do that in heaven. That doesn't seem very good. But, you know, when people are outside enjoying nice weather, or they're eating food that's healthy for them, you know, that's good. So Maybe I'm just weird, but that's how I define good.
Well, the reason I ask, Pastor, is that we assume people are good. That when they ask that question, why do bad things happen to good people? And we just assume everybody is good.
Yeah, well, show me a good person.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Can you point one out to me? Other than yourself, can you point one out to me?
Well, I'm not a good person. Jesus, you know, he's good. But, I mean, look what happened to him.
Ooh, so bad things do happen to good people.
Well, I mean, not just, and you know, the more and more you read the Bible, the more and more you realize Jesus didn't just die for your sins. He lived death. I mean, everywhere he went, people rejected him. Everywhere he went, people hated him. Everywhere he went, people tested him. I mean, he endured a living death just to hang out with people. He exercises this guy, you know, these two guys who were terrifying the whole countryside. And he at the same time gets rid of all these pigs that should have never been there because this is an unclean animal, and they should have known not to have that in that area. You know, have your pigs in China, but not in, you know, not on the edges of Israel. You know, they what do? They say, you know, you're scary, but you're way too powerful for us to beat you up, so can you just excuse yourself? It's like, wow. You know, and if people are good, then you're calling Jesus a liar, because when he's talking about prayer, he says, you know, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more to your Father in heaven? You know, so people are evil. And if we don't regularly check into, you know, radio shows like yours, if we don't regularly check into the Bible, if we don't regularly check into church, we're not going to be feeding that good side.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you'd like to get in, try the email, too, today. It works great, KFUO at KFUO.org. You know, the reason I bring that up is because we seem, as a culture, to be fascinated with God when really, you know, terrible things happen, tornadoes and shootings like this. But you know, if you look at 9/11, Pastor, you know, look at how the churches were so full after 9/11. 3,000 odd people killed, you know, on September 11th when the planes went into the towers, and then the collateral damage that took place after that. But it's, you know, I guess if the number holds at 14, 15, that's not going to be enough to drive anybody into church this Sunday, is it? Should it?
Well, you know, the fact that we are all broken people living in a broken world, and this could happen at any time, should drive us to church. Because, see, the people who were Christian, or, you know, the families who are Christian that lost somebody, they know, they have a narrative, they have the framework to plug this into. You know, when they're not just going to say, oh, my father has ceased to exist, oh, I've been robbed. Those that are Christian, they can look at this, and even with tears say, we're going to see him again, and it's going to be so awesome. I cannot wait to that reunion. That is going to be great. I can't believe God loves us so much that he's going to bring us together again. But then you get somebody who comes to church on Christmas and Easter, and they're not going to be as spiritually in touch with stuff, and they're going to say, oh, where was God in all this? How dare he take that person? That was a good person. How could he do that to us? You know, and it's, you know, you don't wait until something bad happens to start going to church, because you know, you don't already have the foundation, you don't already have the framework to kind of plug this stuff into. You know, how firm a foundation God gives us in Christ our Lord. You know, this is Matthew chapter 7, and you don't start building the foundation when the floods come. You do it when things are peaceful and calm and happy. So that way when the flood comes, you're founded on the rock and you will not fall.
Let's go to the phones, bring some of the callers in on this. Larry, good morning. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning there, Pastor Femmel.
Hey, Larry.
You know, can we tie this in with Job? You know, the devil went to God and insinuated to God that Job would not remain faithful. And God said, okay, we'll put that to the test. So I look at some of these tragedies sometimes as God puts us to the test. Can you tie that in? Is that an accurate assessment or no?
Yeah, it's a brilliant correlation, because, you know, God does allow Job to be tested, not to pick on him. And some, you know, you could look at this and say, man, I would have been mad if I were Job, that God's, you know, rolling the dice with the devil over me. What the heck? But, you know, if you look at what has come out of Job, I mean, Do you know? Do any of us know the name of the guy who lived next to Job?
I don't.
Yeah. Does anybody look up to Job's dad or Job's brother-in-law? No. You know, but, you know, we always have that phrase, you know, having the patience of Job or the strength of Job. And you look at the book of Job, and we get, you know, Job because of what God allowed him to go through. Job has been the companion of billions of people who have gone through things they did not understand because they knew that God did understand and God was going to make it right.
You know, actually, the phrase, the patience of Job, is really not. It was the faith of Job. It wasn't his patience. It was his faith.
Well, faith, you know, patience is a fruit of faith, you know, because you can be patient because you know by faith that God will make things right. But, yeah,
you know,
it's
Romans 8:28, that's the verse that always rings true to me. All things work together for good to those
right.
who love God. So
right.
even in the midst of all turmoil, you know, we need to just look to Calvary because that's where it was all accomplished.
And that's where it made the least amount of sense, right?
Yeah, exactly.
At the time.
Yep. All right.
Here's the disciples. You know, the disciples were up in the locked room even a week later after they saw risen Jesus because it was so traumatic. And you want to get in there and say, guys, this is the time, you know, on Saturday, start handing out the invitations to meet you for a sunrise service at the tomb, you know, rent out some billboard space, you know, get on Facebook, you know. Get the word out, because Sunday morning you get 1,000 people outside that tomb, all of a sudden you'll have 1,000 witnesses, and bam! But no, they didn't. You know, they missed so many opportunities. But apparently, you know, God shows up and they get 3,000 believers in one day, so not too shabby.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Larry. You do the same. Later. Let's continue with the callers. We'll go to Nancy next, and then Jan, hold tight. We'll be coming to you right after Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Good morning. I was just wondering, with everything that's going on, you mentioned about the shooting and everything, but there's even everyday things where Christians seem to be bombarded. I know we have to stay Christ-centered and Christ-focused, but when you're constantly under fire, how can you keep that up? I mean, it's with the will of God, I realize that, but I guess where I'm at as a person, how can I do this?
You know, like Larry just kind of said, you look to the cross and you say, you know, Lord Jesus, you know, not only were you crucified, but you were nailed, you were mocked, you were spit on, you were beaten, you were harassed, you were scourged, you were gambled for, you were stripped naked, you know, and this is after you went, you skipped breakfast, you were found guilty on three trials. Everybody who could have done anything to get you off, they didn't. You know, the week before, Jerusalem is cheering for you, but then they're demanding you to have miracles, and they're testing you. And you just say, ooh, holy smokes, you went through much more than I did, and you got through. And because you're God, I know you can pull me through. And this is the whole thing with the letters that Peter wrote to the church. You know, like 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says, Beloved, do not be surprised that when the fiery trial comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. This is the way it is. And then in chapter 5, same letter, it goes, Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. You know, he's always going to be testing us. He's always going to be working on us. But, Revelation 2:10, be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Everything we endure now for the sake of Christ, will be rewarded at his return, if not before.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate the call. And, as promised, let's go to Jan. Jan, good morning. Something about Mark 8 today, right?
Mark 9.
I'm sorry, it says Mark 8 on the screen. That's what you'll have to talk about. We only do what's on the screen.
Well, let me look up Mark 8 real quick.
Go ahead with Mark 9.
Because where it rests with you, be at peace with everyone.
Oh, nice.
Well, I've been put in my place. I'll go home for the day. Thank you very much.
You know, I listened to Nancy's heart, and I really, you know, identify with that frustration. You know, Roland, you and I have had that conversation over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
And the short answer is we can't. I think about Paul who says, ugh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You know, it's amazing. You see these tragic things happen around you, and like Job, you think, I'm trying to be righteous. That should give me some immunity, right?
It actually puts a bigger target.
Right, because we are in enemy territory. So that's why we are a body of Christ, to encourage each other and nurture each other and protect each other.
Well, not only, not to interrupt you too long, but, you know, we do get distracted by the trials. We do get distracted by the struggles and the attacks. But we should also remember how God reinforces us. You know, like when you go to church and somebody says, hey, you know, thank you for helping out with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, we got Vacation Bible School next week. You know, so someone's going to be, you know, teaching these kids, and then some four-year-old's going to walk up and say, you know, to a lady, I know you're a girl, but you make me think about God. And be like, wow, you know. I mean, how cool that someone can get through to a four-year-old. You know, I'm still trying that at home. You know, but, you know, we should remember we should also take into consideration, you know, not just 9/11, but how God was taking care of people on September 10th, on September 9th, on September 12th, September 13th, September 14th, September 15th, even later on in that day, you know, as everything's happening on September 11th. You know, it's not just Satan at work. You know, Satan's got a little chair at the table. God's got a huge couch.
Yeah. I was looking at this Mark 9, verse 38, where John goes to Jesus and says, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus tells him, do not stop him, for no one who does a miracle in my name can say in the next moment anything bad about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about, we are a body, and the body is larger than we know.
Right.
So I'm struggling with that right now, because I think about the miraculous healing that some will experience, both mind and spirit, because of this tragedy.
Right.
So, I don't know. It just flummoxed me.
Yeah, well, these things do. They
yeah.
do. But they, like Pastor said, you know, life is theology. Life is all about God. We have to consider these things, because if we in the church don't have answers, or at least something to say about this, then who will?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. God is not the author of evil.
Right.
But even the devil is God's devil. He, you know, the demons believe and tremble.
Right.
It's his creatures that he has sent his son to save that don't get the fact that we are, you know, saved by grace. So I just pray for us. And, you know, like Daniel, I mean, he was standing in a gap for 70 years.
Yeah.
So we have to be faithful and consistent, and recognize that we are covered by his blood, and all we're told to be is witnesses.
Yep.
Thanks, Pastor.
Jan, have a great weekend. Let's grab another call quickly. Keith has been hanging on. Keith, thanks for the phone call this morning. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Roland. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're great.
Excellent. You know, I was listening to you guys talk about, you know, the question that you asked, and I think it's very pertinent. You know, why does God let bad things happen to good people? And I think there's a flaw in that premise, and the flaw is that we're good people. I mean, you know, by definition, you know, with our relationship with God, at least, I mean, we were started out that way as good people, but we rejected. So we're not good people. I mean, we're running around in sin and death, and bad things happen to bad people because we're in a sinful world. God's will isn't that this guy goes around killing people. His will is the gospel, right? So you can't blame God for something a man chose to do and rejecting his will. And I guess I get really kind of upset when I hear people blaming God for something that a man has chosen to do against his will. And, I mean, I think to sit there and ruminate over this, these things, I mean, to me, the tragedy here is that, now there's, 12 people that are now dead that hopefully they heard the good news of the gospel before they died, because that would be the saving grace, yeah? The tragedy is that they didn't. You know, if they didn't, that's the tragedy. And I just pray every day that that doesn't happen. I mean, as far as like someone being able to stop them. I mean, the thing with like Pastor mentioned concealed carry. I mean, if somebody would have been in a theater with a weapon to be able to stop this guy, that would have been great. But the fact of the matter is there wasn't. And whether that was God's will or not, we'll never know. I mean, maybe we'll get a chance to ask him. But I just get a little bit. Torqued when I hear people talk and start blaming God for something a man decided to do against his will.
We could, like I said earlier, we could look at the breadcrumbs of this guy's life to see how he got where he was, and we could see Christian groups, at his campus. We could see Christian friends that, perhaps that he had growing up. Maybe he grew up in a Christian household. We could see that he was constantly barraged with people that belonged to God, trying to win him to a path of peace. Now, the first caller had said, but he rejected that. So if someone's going to reject the path of peace, what are they going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, you can't blame the church. You can't blame his parents. I mean, this man made a decision to reject God. You can't point a finger at everybody else and say, well, how do we fail?
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's like saying, well, why did your kid touch the hot stove? You do everything you can to keep a four-year-old from touching a hot stove. But if they make up their mind that they're going to touch that hot stove, short of physically restraining them, and then, how do you live like that? Are we going to sit there now and say, okay, we're going to take away everybody's guns because one guy decided to go crazy? Well, that's silly. I mean, you can't live like that, and I don't think that's what God has in his plan for us anyway.
I'm a big donor of safetyscissorsonly.org.
Amen.
I've got, when the first caller had called in and he said about, this is going to be to get rid of guns, I realized this is actually play more into the favor of the people who are advocates of guns.
Yeah.
Because, me, I don't carry a gun. But if I were in that theater, I would, I'm sure my wife and my kids, were in a place where they couldn't get shot, because I'd tell my wife, go that way. And then I'd charge the guy.
Right.
And if I get shot, I was a pastor trying to save people's lives, and I would Amen. Love to see a Hindu guru or a Muslim imam next to me. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So if I'm charging him and I get killed, I'm a hero. If I'm charging him and I don't get killed, I'm a hero, and I get to give all the credit to God. And no matter what happens, God will take care of my kids and my wife, whether I live Amen. Or die, just like he's taking care of them with me here.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what I was trying to say.
But with a gun, I could minimize the casualty of myself and the people that he would be shooting between me and him before I can get to him.
Right. I mean, what I'm saying is, this is what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's not the fact whether someone had a gun or not. I mean, it really is relevant. I mean, the fact is that, the tragedy doesn't, it boils down to, do we blame God for something this guy decided to do? No. God's plan is the gospel. God's plan is salvation. God's plan is love. And peace. It's not about this guy rejected it. And the people that died and the people that live, I mean, sooner or later we're all going to die. The point is, do we die in God or not?
Right.
Keith, good points. Thank you for the call. Pastor, quick closing comment.
Now, tragically, this guy chose to prevent people from dying in God and denied it himself. Hopefully he will have a change of heart in prison.
Pastor Mark Femmel, our guest this morning. Thanks to all the callers. All the best to the good folks at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
I shall. You too.
See you guys on Monday. Bye-bye.
Listen to The Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Real compassionate love is something that had to come into this world so that this world might again know love, joy, and peace. It was a compassion from heaven itself come looking for you. You can have capacity for compassion because Christ's gift to you can be shared.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. The writer of Hebrews has written, "For we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Join me for a unique look at that help in time of need grace on Moments of Assurance Sunday from 9:15 to 9:30 on listener-supported KFUO Radio.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. We are awaiting a news conference by authorities in Colorado, during which we expect to learn more about this morning's tragedy at a movie theater in Aurora. 12 people dead, at least 50 others injured after a gunman wearing a gas mask burst into a theater and started shooting. Austin Ivey started running when the trouble began.
While we were running down the stairs, there's just bodies on the floor. One guy was completely covered in blood. Don't know what happened to him, if he was conscious or not.
Jennifer Seeger says the gunman apparently was shooting at people as they tried to flee, so she wasn't sure how to try to escape. Then she heard others calling to her.
They were like, "Go back, girl. Don't go in there. He's going to shoot you if you try to exit the door," you know, and stuff like that. So I was just staying in there. I felt trapped. I didn't know what to do. That's why I was one of the few people that were still in there.
Police say the suspect, 24-year-old James Holmes, was a neuroscience graduate student whose apartment was booby-trapped. He is in custody now. The FBI says there is no indication he has any ties to any terror group. Police released a written statement from Holmes' family. "Our hearts go out to those who were involved in this tragedy and to the families and friends of those involved." President Obama is offering his condolences to the victims and their families.
"We may never understand what leads anybody to terrorize their fellow human beings like this. You know, such violence, such evil, is senseless. It's beyond reason."
And just moments ago, Mitt Romney said,
"There will be justice for those responsible, but that's another matter for another day. Today is a moment to grieve and to remember, to reach out and to help."
There are still so many questions, among them, why? At the moment, police do not have a motive that we know of. This is AP Radio News.